Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, let's do just that and open God's Word. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 5, as we look at this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verses 33 through 37. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 33. Listen closely. This is God's inspired Word. Again, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we do pray you would bless this, having read your word, now the preaching of your word. You've heard our song that we sang to blessed Jesus, to open our eyes, and our senses by nature are dark and shrouded. By nature, we are arguers. By nature, we're debaters, and we would even quibble with God's word and quibble with the Lord Jesus himself as the disciples, please be gentle with us and patient with us, but also stretch us and make us more like Christ. We live in a world that thinks truth is very malleable and that it's a construct of human thought. And often there is skepticism that we can know the truth, not to mention an obligation to express the truth truthfully. But we need this truth, Lord. We need to be truth bearers as Christ bore the truth of the gospel in word and deed. Some of us are really wrapped around this problem, Lord, and are not honest people. And we won't release this without your Spirit's help. We ask that you would do this now and continue to do so in the coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us say, amen. A trigonometry professor at Vanderbilt University often said this to his class on test day. Today, I am giving you two exams, one in math, the other in honesty. I hope you will pass them both. But if you must fail one, fail math. There are many good people in the world who can't pass a math exam. But there are no good people in the world who can't pass an honesty exam. There's a shortage of honesty in our nation today. It's a simple fact of American life. We presume it. Our advertisers exaggerate? Sure. Our politicians overstate? Who doesn't? Our diplomats equivocate? This is the status quo of America. But in the life of the church, as we gather weekly for sacred worship and fellowship between times. Dishonesty is perhaps most pervasive in our daily conversations by what we say and what we don't say. Maybe you don't have this problem because you're not cursed with being a sanguine. But have you ever caught yourself mid-sentence speaking to someone, suddenly realize that something you are now saying is actually not true? Have you ever exaggerated a story about yourself? Have you ever offered an inflated compliment to somebody else? Have you ever remained silent about something when you should have spoken up for truth and the other? You know, churches can often develop sad habits and sad customs that jeopardize our honesty with one another. Sometimes those habits involve stretching the truth on a regular basis. Other times those habits include withholding the truth from one another. And so what happens after time of stretching the truth or withholding the truth for so long as a custom, as a habit, what happens is we find ourselves not trusting anybody around us anymore. We can't trust one another to speak the truth in love anymore. That hinders ministry. For example, someone walks up to you and they offer you an honest compliment, and you write it off because you just can't believe what they're saying is really true. How is someone to minister to you? Or on the other hand, let us say that no one will tell us. I'm sorry, I got off my track of line. I don't have another hand. That was it. That's the truth. I just told you I got lost in my sermon notes Sunday night. Okay, we all honest transparency here? Okay, it was going so well. You know, I guess not being honest means we can't serve each other. And we need to be honest in the church today. We need to be honest by telling the truth when we need to say it. And we need to not stretch the truth when we do say things. And so here in the Sermon on the Mount, we actually find a remedy for this truth crisis in the church today. And we're going to see in this fourth contrary saying, Jesus tells us how to tell the truth in a dishonest world. All right, so our first point is this. Jesus gives the Old Testament teaching about truth. The Old Testament teaching about truth. And he says so in verse 33, these words. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. All right, now this verse is a fine summary, a fair summary of the Old Testament teaching about oaths. This is actually not an exact quote of Moses, but it does capture the spirit of the Old Testament as a whole, what it says about making lawful oaths. In the Old Testament, now listen closely, in the Old Testament, vows were actually encouraged. They're good things. For example, Deuteronomy 10, verse 20 says, fear the Lord your God and serve him, hold fast to him, and take your oaths in his name. There you have it. Vows were assumed, even encouraged. See it in Jeremiah 12, 16 and 17. Vows were seen as a sign of God's grace. It says, and if they learn well the ways of my people and swear by my name, then they will be established among my people. And so, very early in the history of God's people, taking a vow was viewed as an act of worship. It was viewed as an act of maturity, as a sign of commitment. What the Old Testament discouraged was not the making of vows, but rather making vows and not keeping them. Here's three examples. Leviticus 19:12. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. Numbers 30, verse 2. When a man makes a vow to the Lord, he must not break his word. And Deuteronomy 23:21. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it. All right, so what is happening here is not the discouragement of oaths, but Moses is prohibiting false swearing, perjury, lying under oath. Now, by the days of Jesus, and we've read two passages, this one and an earlier one, this teaching of Moses had come under abuse. It was now under abuse. Scribes and Pharisees relaxed the high calling of God's law, and that always brings abuse whenever you relax or try to somehow finagle God's word. God settles only for excellence in our words, excellence in our communications, excellence in our service to him and each other, but the rabbis argued differently. They believed that these commands prohibited profanity, but not perjury. I'm going to say that again. They believed that this prohibited profanity, but not perjury. In other words, as long as you don't use God's name in your oath, you don't have to keep it. You can swear by your life. You can swear by someone else's life. You can swear by an object. You can swear by your wife. You can swear by your beard. You can swear by your house cat. As long as you don't mention or allude to God's name, you can break your word. It's almost like saying, I had my fingers crossed behind my back, so I don't have to tell the truth. Now, we read earlier in our gospel reading, and then you can even see in the Mishnah, where it actually devotes an entire section to binding and non-binding oaths. For example, one rabbi taught that if you swore by Jerusalem, then you are not bound, but if you swore toward Jerusalem, it was binding, because toward Jerusalem implied God's name. Now, Jesus rightly called this casuistry, complicated, convoluted rules, undermining honesty to be avoided at all cost. So this brings us to our second point, the teaching of Jesus about vows. The teaching of Jesus about vows, verse 34 and 35. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, and do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Now, Christ calls us as his followers, as lovers of truth, to be radically honest. And in so doing, he tells us several ways we should seek to be radically honest with each other. Firstly, we should avoid swearing when possible. Avoid swearing when possible. Have you ever noticed in our everyday language how we sometimes swear a little too much? I don't mean bad words. What I mean are saying things like, I swear to God, I didn't do that. Or, God, that's awful. Or, I swear in a stack of Bibles, that's not true. I swear, I swear, I swear, I swear. The one that I enjoy, well, didn't enjoy, but I noticed teenagers often using with each other was, I so promise you, Dad. I so promise you. And what Jesus says is, if you can avoid it, don't do that. Honest people don't need to swear. That's the gist of his teaching. Honest people don't need to swear. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you have a reputation for telling the truth, you don't need to tack on oaths. Because when you do, it sort of sounds like you're lying and trying to cover it up. Or it sounds like you're saying this, you know, I normally lie, but not this time. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. It's the plainest and most honest way to live. It's a beautiful way to live. It creates peace, God's peace. Now, I say this, we should avoid swearing when possible, because this brings us to our next point. There are occasions when we should make vows. There are occasions when we should make vows on special occasions. There are times, dear church, when we should solemnly swear with God as our witness that what we are saying is true, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to do. It is an upright thing to do. It is a blessed thing to do. For example, we do it at weddings. Look at this vow. I so-and-so take you so-and-so to be my wedded wife, and I do promise and covenant before God and these witnesses to be your loving and faithful husband, in sickness and in health, in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, as long as we both shall live. Beautiful vow. We do this at baptisms. Look at this beautiful vow. Do you promise to endeavor by all the means that God has appointed to bring your child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, encouraging them to appropriate for themselves the blessings and fulfill the obligations of the covenant? Do you? Well, it's beautiful. We do it professions of faith. Look at this one. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your sovereign Lord? And do you promise that in reliance on the grace of God, you will serve him with all that is in you and forsake the world, resist the devil, put to death your sinful deeds and desires, and lead a godly life? Oh, those are beautiful. We also do it in laws of court and in other circumstances, but they are solemn and weighty occasions that deserve and require special promises made to God and to one another, and on those occasions, swearing is proper and necessary. Now, one reason we swear like this is because we are following, firstly, the example of our Lord Jesus. Later on in his ministry, Jesus found it good and useful to speak to Caiaphas under oath. Look at Matthew 26, 63 and 64. But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus replied, "Yes. It is as you say." But Paul did it as well. Paul swore under oath on many times in various forms for different reasons. Here are a number. 2 Corinthians 1:23. "I call God as my witness that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth." 2 Corinthians 11:31. "The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying." Galatians 1, verse 20. "I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie." And 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 5. "You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness." Even in Romans 1, verse 9, on that occasion, Paul swears about prayer. He says, I do it for you, I do it a lot, I swear. Here it says, "God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times." Wow. And so you have Jesus. You have his apostle, the Apostle Paul, making vows, swearing on oath on non-ordinary, very special occasions. They're special occasions. Ordinarily, we don't have to speak this way. That's why there's just a handful of examples. Swearing need not fall from our lips on ordinary occasions. But sometimes we make vows, and it's good and proper to do so then on occasions. Thirdly, how to be radically honest with one another. Thirdly, we should, by this teaching of Jesus, we learn we should avoid thoughtless promises. Now, the Pharisees would use all of these special formulas that did not mention God's name to lessen their responsibility to tell the truth. But if you think about it, God is everywhere, right? You cannot eliminate God and his demands from your life in any way. And so if you swear by heaven, this is the argument of Jesus, he says, well, God's there. If you swear by his throne, well, God's on that throne. If you swear by earth, well, that is God's footstool. If you swear by Jerusalem, well, that's God's city. If you swear by your head, God even controls the number of hairs on your head and when they turn white. Every area of life belongs to God, big and small. So don't make your promises lightly. Don't tell your family, hey, I'm going to be home at 5 o'clock only to get there at 5:30 only because, well, you know, it's just my family. I'll swear by my family because it's just family. Don't promise your child or your little sibling a special date only to cancel out because, well, something came up and he's only a kid. Swearing by kiddom. Don't carelessly say, I'll pray for you this week. I'll give you a call. I'll stick that in the mail today. The mailbox is God's domain. The phone is God's domain. Prayer is God's domain. Why do we swear by such things and do not keep it? And so Jesus argues life cannot be divided up into neat little compartments where you are exempt from God's presence and exempt from obligations to keep your word. But there are other areas, well, this is God's domain, so I've got to do it here, but I don't need to do it here. Let us not be thoughtless in our promises. They're all important to God. Fourthly, we learn from Jesus that we should avoid speedy commitments. Avoid speedy commitments. In other words, don't say yes too soon. Learn to say no. Do you know what? Saying no is not a sin. Have I liberated somebody today? Are you liberated? Are you feeling free? Saying no is not a sin. I can't guarantee how they're going to react, but they're not God. So what? Saying no is not a sin. Didn't Jesus say, let your yes be yes and your, what is it? No be no. Yeah, you're allowed, according to Jesus, you're allowed. You're allowed, even when pastor walks up to you and says, oh, we need this, can you do? You can say no. You're allowed. Oh, she did it. Oh, I got me. Yeah. You can say no. Don't let me schmooze you. Say no. You're free. I'll just have to find somebody else. Maybe you should say no more often as an expression of truthfulness. Right? You could commit this week, I'm going to say no more. Because I want to be honest. It is better to honor God by refusing a commitment you cannot keep than to fear man by keeping a commitment you should refuse. Are we feeling free? I hope. Oh, how we would honor God if we keep the commitments that we promise to keep and refuse the commitments we have no business making. Avoid speedy commitments. Be free. And finally, from this teaching about truth, we learn we should be direct with one another. Lovingly direct with one another. Not brutal, but straightforward. In other words, going back to the yes, yes, and the no, no. If someone asks you a question, answer it by saying yes or no. Do not answer it by saying yes or no. That is confusing. You know what I'm talking about, right? We know. That was just body language. It's mixed and confusing to say yes with your lips and no with everything else about you, or to say no with your lips and yes with everything about you. Honor God with clarity. Clarity reduces conflict. Have the courage to speak the truth in love. You can walk up to me and say, you know, Pastor, I didn't follow your sermon too well today, but thanks for working so hard on it. Because I did. Then, when you walk up the next week and say, Pastor, I really got a lot of that sermon, I'll know you're not blowing hot air at me. And you will be able to minister to me. And the truth will set me free. Let's give each other permission to speak the truth in love. Okay? Of course, it's not always going to be pleasant. It's not always going to be feel good. We know we can't promise to not feel bad some way, shape, or form in our lives. But let's give each other permission to speak the truth in love. Let's choose to not be offended when someone says, doesn't, or when someone doesn't say, I like your outfit, with the enthusiasm you had hoped. Respect their answer. Let's not bully each other, forcing each other into hyperbole or exaggeration or stretching the truth just to suit our fancies. Let us be, and let us allow others to be, direct in our speech. So, dear church, that's the high calling of the gospel. Those who are born again by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, living a life of profound truthfulness under the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Often we embellish the truth without realizing we're doing it. It destroys our ministry. We can't rely on one another to speak the truth in love. This inhibits our ministry. When the world knows that you are one who does not lie, no matter the cost, then they will believe your testimony about what Jesus is doing in your life. What a difference a truthful life can make. Let me close with this quote from Samuel Johnson. Very telling, he writes these words. Accustom your children constantly to tell the truth. If a thing happened at one window, and they, when relating it, say that it happened at another, don't let it pass, but instantly check them. You do not know where deviation from truth will end. It is more from carelessness about truth than from intentional lying that there is so much falsehood in the world. Jesus minces no words. Let us, his followers, be wildly committed to truth. Amen. Amen. That means truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the yes and amen found in Jesus Christ, the one who we look to for truth with love And his words at times were stinging and hard, and other times tender, gentle, all upright. We pray, O Lord, that we would love you and love your truth. We need more truth, Lord, and we need it to come out of our lips. We pray that we would be honest with one another, honest in love. Help us to stop tyrannizing one another by refusing the others to say no, or not letting one another be transparent and open when it is needed and good. Help us, O Lord, above all, to love the truth, who is Christ. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. We humbly ask in Jesus' name, and let us all say, Amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.